Good morning.
The prophet Isaiah calls to us from the past to imagine the future when God's reign will fully realize and recognize throughout creation. When that time comes, God shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up swords against nations, neither shall they learn war anymore. We light this candle of hope as a sign of our promise to follow the light as we answer God's call to transform our hope into reality today and in days to come.
Good morning. If you would stand as you're able for our call to worship printed in your bulletin. We begin the journey that leads to Christmas. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is a journey of peace. Let us beat swords into plowshares. This is a journey of hope. Let us walk with God. And if you would remain standing for our opening hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, number 196. Thank you. You may be seated. If you would please join me in our opening prayer printed in your bulletin. Everlasting God, we believe in our journey toward Christmas with hope stirring within. Teach us how to get ready. Show us how to prepare our hearts for Jesus. Help us walk in your ways as we put on your Son, Jesus Christ. Guide us in your paths of peace and understanding as we prepare our hearts anew for the road ahead. Amen.
This morning we're going to have a pause for a mission moment, and the children are going to come up in just a minute, but just wait until after we have a presentation here. We probably won't need that mic. Several months back, and I believe I shared it with the church, that the ad board had approved to take our mindset from just being local but to also being global. And as part of that, we had this connection to Mongolia through Luke Snell. And so we're getting behind this. It's the Mongolian Mission Initiative of the United Methodist Church. It's already an established mission that's happening. And we're going to share a little bit about how our connection here at the church is a direct connection that we have through Luke and Billy. And we want to share that with you, and we want you as faith community to get behind this part of our global mission. It'll be part of our focus throughout Advent as the launch of our partnership with this Mongolian mission. I'm going to let Luke share a little bit more.
Thank you. In 2001, I had the opportunity to go to Mongolia. I'm an engineer. I went there to work with the universities and help them out. And I also found the Mongolian mission that is going on by the United Methodist Church. Next slide, please. You say, well, where's Mongolia? Well, I had to get out the map and find it out myself. Mongolia is trapped between China and Siberian part of Russia. And thus, it is landlocked. It's a huge country about the size of Alaska. The capital is Ulaanbaatar, and that is where the mission activity is going on. Next slide, please. This is our missionary, head missionary, this over there. He's from the Philippines. If you know anything about the Philippines, that's basically a tropical area. Mongolia is, gets down to about 50 below zero, so you can see that's quite a shock for him, but he's doing working there and doing very well. Next slide, please. Mongolian mission is very important. Up to about 1989, they were part of the Soviet Union, what we call the Iron Curtain. Most of them were, before that, Tibetan Buddhist. When Soviet Union was in control, they said, no religion at all, so religion went underground for what it is. As soon as they started their own country, they were able to have freedom of religion, and because of that, Christianity has moved in and is flourishing. Right now it's only 1% of the population, but it is growing and is basically growing in the youth and the poor part of the area. Next slide, please. I asked the people over in Mongolia, is there a way we can help? And they asked, because Billy was a school teacher, because I was an engineering professor, they suggested that we start a program where we're trying to help them develop and learn more about U.S., learn more about math and science in the children area. So they're designing classes for that in a development center. If you next slide, please. They've already made a lot of progress on this. This is the one in Ulaanbaatar. Because we were able to give them some more money than they thought, they are developing some activities in other areas. Next slide, please. And the other areas where they're able to teach English language, they're very proud. Up until about 1989, they were teaching Russian as a second language. Now everybody is learning English. And the Korean churches are also getting behind these activities, so they're supporting that language as well. Next slide, please. So we got three centers that are being started. one in the capital city, one in Moron, and one in Tahit. They're going to provide additional education. For us, it would be probably considered an after-school activity. Next slide, please. Faith Community Partnership. I've talked to the board, and the board is more than happy to support this type of activity. Pastor and I have been talking back and forth, and the Advent and Christmas offerings that we're going to be giving, we're going to be splitting between activities here in the area and doing that. Hopefully, we will have a great partnership. Next slide, please. May our partnership continue to grow. If I could, I'd like to have the children come up at this point. What has happened to the blue buckets? The blue buckets. Yeah. Some of you have already been involved in this because we did an activity today where we are sending to them a video. One of the things that I really enjoy about Mongolia is the enthusiasm of the children, and you're going to see that in just a minute, and the candy that they have. Every time I go there, I bring back bags of candy. And we're going to do something a little unique. You know, these blue buckets, they normally come and ask you for putting your money in. We're going to give you some of the candy that is unique to Mongolia. But first, we're going to show a video. If you kids, make sure you can see the screen. This is a message to us from the Mongolian church, wishing us a Merry Christmas and hoping we will establish relationships. So, video, please. They have many congregations over there. I think there's something like 11 places where they are meeting right now. And you see the enthusiasm, which is always great to see. So if you would, we're going to pass these out. And just, I would ask that you take one candy. Yeah. Please don't sort through them and try to get the biggest one. But please take one. But I have one request for you. Save the wrapper. Save the wrapper so that you can remember this is an activity of our church, and you can pray for them and continue to have Mongolia in the centers of your heart.
You can go with that. Oh, wait. Go take it to each. Can you help hand it out? Make sure everybody gets one. And then you get one too. Thanks, Luke, for sharing that with us. I hope the church can get behind this mission. You said that there's all these kids that are coming from a place of need. So not only do they come to this place for education, they come to this place for a lot of support. So our goal is to be able to get behind it with this relationship, be able to send them resources through financial, and it's directly through the United Methodist Church. It's not like we're sending somewhere specifically, but it's going directly through that mission. And with our relationship with Dexter, we're going to be able to make sure that that is something that they're going to share with us how things are going. So we should be getting reports periodically to what's going on. So hopefully we can join in this mission together and show them that we don't only care about ourselves, but we care about them. And by sharing that love, it'll be something that will show how much Christ means to us. Everybody get a piece of candy? You can take one if there's any left. Oh, we even got some donations. You might need a piece of candy. Get one. You get one? Did you get one? Take one. All right. Come on. All right. Let us go before our Lord. Prayer. Amazing, merciful God, we know that you are everywhere. So God, as we take our time now and we're thinking about this connection that we have with Mongolia, Lord, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts. That you would draw us closer to you and in turn closer with those in Mongolia and around the world. Lord, we just ask that you would open our minds to what it is to be one who honors you with how we serve you. You call us to be more than just someone who is saved by your Son. You call us into transformation. You call us to be like your Son. And it is through our transformation that we are able to be more giving, more understanding, be able to be there for people that we normally wouldn't be there for. So we continue to work on our hearts, work on our minds, and help us to draw together. You call us to be a body of Christ, to be unified together in our mission in order to support you. And it is through our being guided by your Spirit that we're able to understand what you would have of us. Continue to draw us in as you send us out. So, Lord, we just ask that you would be the one that is the one that shows us where we are to be here in our local community. Because we are doing local and global, Lord. We are not being single-minded. So, Lord, give us courage to walk along with you as we journey through each and every day, but especially through this time of Advent, when we look forward to you coming to draw us closer to you in a way that we can only imagine, but a time of eternity and peace with you. Walk with us. Amen. Erica's going to share her own version of the Our Father that she created. As we, instead of us sharing the Lord's Prayer together, she's going to share this song with us.
Our Father in heaven, you are awesome, worthy of all praise. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father your will. Help us to obey. Our Father, as in heaven, your will be done on earth. Our Father, in heaven, fulfill our needs and give us of your strength. Our Father, in heaven, give us daily bread. Our Father in heaven, forgive us our debts as we forgive. And do not lead us into temptation, but
And now as we receive our offering, I just want to make a couple notes on this. When we receive our offering, we receive our tithes and our offerings. Our tithes is our regular giving. That's what we give in honor of God and who God is in our lives and how we are responding. That is what we give on a regular basis. Then we have offerings that are those things that are on top of that, that we do for our different things. And during this Advent season, like I said, we're going to do both local and global. So when you give something in this envelope, whatever the amount is, unless it's designated for one of them specifically, it'll be split between local benevolence and the mission, Mongolian Mission Initiative. So you can designate on check, I just want this to go to Mongolia, or I just want this to benevolence, but if it's in just general check in this envelope, it'll be split between the two. So we are giving everything back. That's what we do when we get things here at the church. It's not, you know, just for us. It always is about how are we establishing ourselves in the community as a community of faith here in Xenia and the surrounding areas. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? please join in the prayer of dedication. God of all goodness, as we walk in the light of your love, we are blessed by the abundance of your gifts. You give us the beauty of nature, food to nourish our bodies, and communities to love and support us. In response to your goodness, we bring our gifts to you. May these gifts increase peace in our community and throughout the world. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
Today's gospel reading is taken from Luke, first chapter, verses 26 through 38. The birth of Jesus is foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Darkness, open my eyes, let me see. stepped down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see.
Amen. Thanks, Erica. Well, friends, as our desire for yet another serving of Thanksgiving turkey fades, we step into the season of Advent, the season of anticipation for the coming of Christ, where the real hope is of the risen Jesus' return to usher in the new heavens and the new earth and a life of eternal peace, living in the presence of our triune God and with all who accept the reign of Christ. While we anticipate Christ's return, we also take time during Advent to retell the story of the Christ child's coming into a world of unrest with a divine purpose to save the world. God's work of salvation in Christ is ongoing as every generation until His return is awakened to their need of a Savior. The generations change, but the story remains the same. And as we retell the story this Advent season, we are drawing inspiration from Adam Hamilton's book titled The Journey: Walking the Road to Bethlehem. In his book, Hamilton reflects on his own visit to the Holy Land, to the locations in which the Christmas story unfolds. Throughout his journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, he considered the characters, the culture, the environment, and the response to God's interceding for all of humanity. But most importantly, Hamilton sought to shed light on God's character, Christ's presence with us, and what it means for our lives. Our Sunday school classes are using Hamilton's book, video, and leadership materials to guide their discussions throughout this season, and all are welcome to join them on their journey. Or you can read the book for yourselves, or just come and be part of our time together as we journey through this together. In my sermons, I want to take us on a journey through the scriptures that tell the story as we follow Hamilton's chapters titled Mary of Nazareth, Joseph of Bethlehem, Mary's visit to Elizabeth, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and the manger. And like Hamilton, I want to connect us with who God is and what we have been given in Christ, and what it means for us. So, shall we begin the journey to discover what is revealed through Mary of Nazareth? First, why Nazareth? Well, that's where God takes us and shares in Luke, saying, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." You see, if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't likely know of Nazareth at all. But because of God sending a messenger named Gabriel to this village, we do. Now, in 2016, I also took my own trip to Israel for a three-week class that spent each day traveling to a different location. 2 weeks into my trip, we headed north from Jerusalem for a couple of hours. We stopped just outside of Nazareth to hike up to the top of Mount Precipice. And you may have heard of Mount Precipice. That's where Jesus was believed to have escaped the mob of Nazareth trying to push him over the edge. From Mount Precipice, we could look out across the Jezreel Valley from one direction or back and to see modern city of Nazareth. And here's the picture that I took while I was there. If you can see the red arrow there, pay attention to that. Today it is this, and it's a sprawling city up and across the mountainside. And at the center, where that red arrow is a prominent cone roof of the Church of the Annunciation, which was built over a spring believed by many to be the location that Mary met Gabriel. It doesn't look like anything like a spring today. It looks like a church. We didn't actually get to go into Nazareth. But from my distance, from this view, this is what I got to see. It seemed to be a place of prominence and prosperity today. However, when God sent Gabriel to Mary in Nazareth, it was nothing much at all. Hamilton, writing about Nazareth, noted this. He said, "It is not among the 63 villages of Galilee mentioned in the Hebrew Talmud, or the 45 mentioned by first century Jewish historian Josephus, who knew the area well. This was an insignificant little town." Hamilton went on to mention that the population likely was less than 400 people who were dependent on the other cities around them to either find work or to sell whatever they could to survive. Nazareth wasn't a place others came to, but God did. What about Mary? Why Mary? According to Luke, Mary was a young girl who had been betrothed to a man from a town several hours or even a couple days' travel away. A girl like Mary was even more insignificant than the town she lived in. She was not much more than property of the men in her life. Her value would be determined by the number of children, especially sons, that she would have for her husband. Mary had no children and was only engaged. She didn't have much to offer the world at the point Gabriel came. God saw her differently. Nazareth and Mary, insignificant in the eyes of the world, were chosen by God for the most significant work of salvation for all the world. In this story of Mary of Nazareth, we see God's saving work is by God's power, not through worldly powers. Sinful humanity loves power, significance, and control too much. And God witnessed this truth even in God's chosen people of Israel. God choosing Mary of Nazareth declares this is God's doing. And no authority or power in the world then or now can use their status to save the world. Our skewed view of power creates more problems than solutions. Our understanding seems to always lead to using means of force, either physical or legislative or both, to get what we want. Christ's reign is different, which is demonstrated from the beginning of God's interceding work of salvation in Gabriel's interaction with Mary. Luke described the angel's approach. "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God." Mary wasn't necessarily perplexed by the greeting because it came from an angel, but because she was told she was favored by God. Remember, Mary didn't see herself as much of anything, being a young girl from Nazareth. What could God possibly have found in her that warranted favor? I had always heard, or at least understood for myself, Mary found favor with God because of who she was as a humble servant of the Lord. Nothing in Mary's past is presented for us to know this about Mary. It is only after this encounter with Gabriel that we watch her story unfold that we conclude her worthiness of favor. What I am considering now that I am reflecting on this story once again is that the favor God gave to Mary is simply God's grace, which He offers all of us. None of us are deserving of God's love, but God offers it anyway. That is grace. God's unmerited, undeserved, pure love. And as Hamilton writes, grace has power when you show kindness, compassion, goodness, or love to someone who does not deserve it. The act of grace has the power to change hearts, to heal broken relationships, and to reconcile people and even nations. God didn't send the messenger Gabriel to come to force the world to follow God's law to reconcile our broken relationship with the Lord. God sent an angel to overwhelm the world with love, to change our hearts and lives to be more like the Lord. Showing favor to Mary reveals God's grace is the saving power. No authority, even God's authority and almighty power, can't force us to love. However, experiencing God's grace, God's unmerited love, and surrendering to Christ's love that is demonstrated in His life, His death, and resurrection, our hearts can be transformed to love even those whom the world deems unlovable. Receiving this grace, we are reconciled with God. And extending this grace, our relationships with one another can be healed. After Gabriel captured Mary's full attention and assured her of the Lord's gracious presence with her, he shared why God had sent him to her, saying, "And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David. He will reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now, we have already established that it is God's saving work by God's grace that is doing the work of salvation. Yet Gabriel announced to Mary that she was being invited to do a few things in cooperation with God's powerful work. You see, Mary would surrender her womb and endure pregnancy in an era where many pregnancies ended in the death of the mother and the child. She also would face the shame of being pregnant out of wedlock and the possibility of never marrying Joseph. She also had to accept the name of Jesus for her child. God, in this saving work, would by divine inspiration and power instigate the conception and honor the name Jesus, fulfilling its meaning, which is God saves, by establishing Jesus Christ's reign as Savior and Lord of all eternity. Instead of the Son of God coming down from heaven in all the glory of God, Hamilton notes, Jesus was the Son of God. He was both of Mary and of God. God's essence, the stuff of God, was conjoined with human flesh. God chose Mary to participate in the work of salvation. Through Mary of Nazareth, we have come to know God chooses to do the work of salvation with us. Nothing is accomplished without God's doing. We have to know this for sure. It is God's prevenient grace that awakens us to God and our need of being saved. It is God's justifying grace accomplished in Christ Jesus' work on the cross that we are reconciled with the Lord. And it is God's sanctifying grace that works in us and transforms our hearts and lives. But God doesn't do the work without our cooperation. We have a choice in the saving work of God. Just like us, Mary had a choice too. And just like Mary had questions asking how this work could be accomplished in her and through her, Gabriel declared to Mary that nothing was impossible with God. He assured her the power of the Holy Spirit would be poured out on her to conceive a holy child in her, and that she would be supported through it all, just like God was with her once barren cousin Elizabeth, who was also with child. With God's assurance, Mary responded, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Mary chose to respond to God's grace with acceptance for the work of salvation to be accomplished as God promised. This didn't remove the challenges of her pregnancy, nor the possibility of being shamed or discarded by her family, neighbors, and fiancé. She chose to be faithful to the Lord's saving work. We know the rest of Mary's story. She was faithful to her word, just as God was faithful. Mary's response to God's grace shows us, by grace through faith, God's work is accomplished in and through us. Has not Jesus Himself invited us to participate in the saving work of God? What is our response? Hamilton challenges, writing, "Christmas is not about how much you buy or what you eat or whom you visit. It's about your willingness to say, like Mary, 'Here am I, Lord. Use me according to your will.'" Let's be attentive to the Lord's word to us as guided by the Holy Spirit that's within us. Let's be participants in the work of salvation, not just observers. The Lord is with us and doing a great work in us and inspiring us to join in. Let's be faithful as Mary was faithful. You see, Mary of Nazareth never expected to be such a significant person in the work of salvation. But still today, she is an inspiration to us to be open to the Lord's interceding work. Through Mary's story, we have been enlightened today. So may our stories embrace the truth revealed in Mary of Nazareth, that God's saving work is by God's power, not through worldly powers. That God's grace is the saving power through which our hearts and lives are transformed. And God chooses to work with us rather than overpower us. And by grace through faith, God's work is accomplished in and through us. God is gracious. God saves. Christ the Lord is with us. Experience God's grace. Trust in Jesus as your Savior and cooperate with the Holy Spirit's transforming work. And always extend grace to everyone. Amen.
If you'd please stand as you're able for our closing hymn, "Arise, Shine Out, Your Light Has Come," number 725 in your hymnal. We'll be singing verses 1 through 4.
The journey has begun. We are taking this 1 week at a time. I invite you to spend time with each and every one of these passages as we go through our time. If you're reading the book, read it reflectively and take it all in. Because we are being shaped and formed each and every time that we put ourselves in God's grace. Receive it, be changed, and go and extend grace to the world. Go in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.